All right, take your Bibles, please open up to Isaiah chapter 1, and also hold your place there and go to 2 Chronicles 7. We're going to read Isaiah passage first. You know, back during the college orientations this past fall, those of you who've been in college, you know what I'm getting ready to say, you would come up there and we introduce ourselves. And this year, just trying to be a little funny, I grabbed the pulpit and I said, open up your Bibles to John 3:16. I said, oh, I'm not preaching. But now that I am preaching, I'm nervous. I wasn't nervous back during the college orientations. So pray for me, please. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupters. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto the anger. They have gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. We live in a sick nation. Our country is in trouble. Title of the message is not America the Beautiful, but America the Troubled. Now, if you're holding your place there in 2 Chronicles, turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Here's how we can help our nation. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. The last time I checked and the last time I read my Bible, I am one of God's people. This was written to Israel. We are God's people. If you're sitting here tonight and you claim the name of Christ, you've been born again, you're one of God's people. And what we just read, we need help with. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you, Lord, and love you so much, Lord, for what you've done for us in this country. You bless us as a nation, yet we've turned away from you. God, you know this is something that's been on my heart for many years. It's a burden that I have for this country. So, God, I ask you now, please, to help me with this, Lord. Speak through me, Father. God, I need to step aside and just let you take over. God, please use me in a great way, Lord. God, I pray that I bring honor and glory to your name tonight. Bless the message and bless these people here in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, on January 28th, next month, the president will come before a joint session of Congress, and as mandated by the Constitution, he will deliver the State of the Union address. And he will most likely tell the nation and the entire world that the State of the Union of America is good. My friends, he will tell you a lie. The state of this country is not good right now. We are a sinful nation. We have turned our backs on God. We have turned away from God. We are no longer the country that our founding fathers started. This is not breaking news to you. I know this. I know you know this. But I think we as Christians have forgotten the fact that we belong to God and we have certain duties, responsibilities that we owe to God. And I think we get a little forgetful in the fact of what he's actually done for us in this country. We were founded on the Bible and Christianity, but we no longer resemble what we once were as a nation. We're a sinful nation, a people lacking integrity, a seed of evildoers. We read that in Isaiah. We deserve the judgment of God in this country. This is not just because of the politicians or because of the welfare state or because of anything else. A lot of it has to do because of the Christians that have gone weak. They have turned their back on God. President Lincoln said over 150 years ago, we have been recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown, but we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. We have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to the God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. We need a third great awakening in this country. The country is falling apart. We have preachers in the pulpit that preach to itching ears. We have weak Bibles in the pulpit. We have rock music in the choirs, and we have loose dress in the pews. Our churches, independent Baptist churches, all over across this land, have turned their backs on God. It's no longer, thus saith the Lord. It's however you want to feel. Whatever you want to do, brother and sister, that's okay. Just be who you ought to be. We saw some of that this morning in Sunday school, of this emerging church that's coming about. It's the ruination of our country. What we see over here in the Second Chronicles passage, we see four things that if we, even here in this church, it's got to start with the individual. A church can't do it. A nation can't do it. It's got to start right here in each individual Christian. You got to go back to the roots. You got to go back to the basics. We've forgotten it. First thing we need to do is we need to humble ourselves. Webster defines this as to reduce arrogance and self-dependence. Unfortunately, most Christians today are like the Laodicean church that Christ condemned in Revelation. We think we're good. We don't need anything. We're all right. Jonathan touched a little bit about that in his message. We're all right. We don't need any help. But just like the Laodicean church, a lot of us don't realize that we're poor and miserable and blind and naked. And we've left our first love. What we need is to go back. We need to remember that in Micah 6:8, the Bible says that it is required of us to be humble. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. We need to walk humbly. I think a lot of us, too, we forget that what we have and what we've done in our lives is not because of us. It's not because of how great I am, but it's how great He is. Not to lift anybody up or anything like that, but one of the things that have impressed me about this church and the leadership of this church is the fact that not one time have I ever heard in the 3 years that I've been here has anybody ever taken credit for anything around here. It's always been, look what God's done for us. Look what God has done. Look how God blessed in the service. Look how God brought the offerings back up. And this is a huge church. Matter of fact, I've never preached more than maybe about 50 or 60 people at one time. So this is a big step for me. This is huge. But we need to humble ourselves. I needed to be humble when I got here. I did not want to work on a bus. I did not want to be in a nursing home. But you know what? To be in a nursing home and to see 89-year-old Gloria get saved one day in service and then never be seen again because she died before the next Saturday rose about? To be on a bus and to see lives change and to see people brought into church and people saved that would never come to church anyway. To be able to be blessed to be part of an extra bus one year and to be able to see or be able to tell a young man that he's not coming back on my bus because of the way he acted at the zoo. And then 2 weeks later, when he showed up at the door of his house, when I knocked on it for his sisters, I said, oh, you're not getting back on a bus. And then the Holy Spirit said, let him on. And I told him, I said, you so much as even sneeze the wrong way, you're getting in the shuttle and going back home. You know what? That young man got saved that day. And see, I needed to be humbled. I needed to be in positions like that. And we need to be humbled as an individual. A lack of a humbleness will destroy you. It destroyed Pharaoh. He was too proud to let the Israelites go. And look what happened. His son died in the process. The Bible says that God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. You know, here's a few verses if you want to jot them down, and some things that being a humble will do for you. You'll be regarded by God in Psalm 138:6. You'll be heard by God in Psalm 9:12. You will enjoy the presence of God in Isaiah 51:15. You'll be declared by God in Job 22:29. You'll be exalted by God in Luke 14:11. And James 4:10 says you'll be lifted up by God if you're humble. And if you're not humbled, the alternative is you'll be judged by God. In 2 Chronicles 12:6-7, Israel humbled themselves and averted judgment. Now, they still had to serve as slaves, but they averted complete annihilation by God. The Bible says, whereupon the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves, and they said, the Lord is righteous. And when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, saying, they have humbled themselves, therefore I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance. And my wrath shall not be poured out upon Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. Now they still had to serve as his slaves, but they weren't totally destroyed because they humbled themselves. My friends, we need to humble ourselves. We need to forget who we are. We need to forget what position we're in the church. We need to forget what family we come from. We just need to humble ourselves before God and say, God, I want to serve you. What can I do for you? Because we need to turn this country around. Second thing is we need to pray. You know, my 20 years that was spent in the military was all in communications. And if we didn't communicate right, if something was wrong with the commo, we couldn't communicate with each other, and the infantry didn't know where to go. They didn't know where to bomb anybody. They didn't know what to do. You ask any married couple what happens when there's communication problems in their marriage. It's not a good thing. And when we don't have communication lines open with God because we don't pray, then there's going to be a problem in our lives. Trust me, because if the communication, the vertical communication between you and God is not good and it's broken, the horizontal communication between you and God's people is going to be broken also. But we need to pray. And it's more than just saying a quick prayer over the dead piece of cow on your dinner plate. We need to pray to God, and we need to ask for his wisdom. We need to pray. We need to ask him for discernment. We need to pray. We need to ask for help from him, wisdom. James says he'll give it to you liberally if you ask for wisdom. There's others. There's people here in our church that need prayer for health reasons, financial reasons. They need jobs. We need to pray. In Matthew 7, verse 7, the Bible says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. That word ask is an imperative. We are commanded to pray. It's not just a suggestion. Oh, you can pray if you want to. You can pray if you want something. No, God says we need to pray. He says pray. Not only that, but in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we are commanded never to stop praying. Pray without ceasing. James 5:16 says pray for each other. We need to pray. I think that's one of the things that one of the Christians have forgotten. We have forgotten to pray. Or we don't have time to pray. Or we woke up late. We don't have time to pray. I'm too tired when I go to bed. I don't have time to pray. I'm working during the day. I don't have time to stop and pray. I think if Christians get back to praying to God and humbling themselves, we can get back to start maybe turning this nation around, if it's possible at all. Psalm 17, verse 1 says, hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Jonathan Smith gave the verse to us earlier tonight when he said, if I bear iniquity in my heart, God's not going to hear us. You know what? Get the sin out of your life. If you're going to pray to God, the Bible says he's not going to hear you if we're bearing iniquity in our heart, if we got sin in our life. You want prayer? You want answered prayer? You want to have a testimony of having answered prayer in your life? Get right with God. Pray. And we got this wedding we're working on, and we've been praying for guidance and praying for leadership and praying for help. And you know what? The other day, we went to Highland, Indiana, and we thought we found the dress. Y'all know who that is. We thought we found the dress. And it was a good price. It was a little above my budget, but I thought maybe we could work it out. And I said, okay, Lord, well, thank you. That was more than what, it was way less than what we were looking at, these other dresses. And we had this other appointment here in Chesterton. And they went there, and we'll just go to the appointment, and we'll just go. I told my wife and daughter, just go to the appointment, keep the appointment. This is probably the dress. So I get a call. I'm at work. I get a call. I think we found the dress. I said, wait, I thought we did this yesterday. But no, apparently this dress was exactly the one that my daughter had originally looked at, one of the ones that she originally wanted. And the lady that works at this place is one of the moms that has children in La Petite, where my daughter works. So she knew her, and she was able to give her a discount. So we were actually able to get the dress lower than the dress. But now we definitely have the dress. But you know what? That's prayer. God answered that prayer. I mean, that's funny, but God answered that financial prayer of getting that dress, and actually that was way more within the budget than the other dress. Prayer works. We need to seek God, thirdly. This is God's favor, direction, and assistance. This is very close to praying, but instead of praying for others, instead of praying for yourself, get down on your knees and ask God. I think Pastor Ferguson said it the other night. He said, ask God, what can I do for you today? I think too much in Christianity, maybe here in this church, I don't know. But this is a pretty large-sized crowd here. There's somebody saying here, I'm not going to seek God's face because I'm scared of what he might tell me to do. You know, and that's understandable. But seek God anyway. There's too many Christians out there that are not seeking God's face. There's people out there. Okay, where's all the young men out there? I hear stories. I just turned 45 Monday. Okay, so I'm a young man. But I've heard stories of past years of in the past, 10, 20, 25 years ago, of a Bible college just being filled of nothing but young men going to pastoral theology. Preacher boys, where are they nowadays? Where are they? God's still in the business of calling people, but nobody's seeking God. And this country's falling apart because nobody wants to seek God because they're too comfortable in their own lives and they're scared to death of what God's going to tell them to do. Look, I want to serve God with all my might. I've wasted too many years of my life to come to Bible college at the age I did and not do anything for God. You know, Isaiah 55:6. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. That verse right there, seek ye the Lord. Again, it's a commandment of God. Seek ye the Lord. Stop being afraid of what God's going to ask you to do. So what if God asks you to go work in a nursing home? So what if God asks you to go work on a bus route? So what if God asks you to go work for help for you or work in a prison ministry? What else are you going to do? You're going to go home and sit at home and watch TV if you have one? Or are you just going to go home and sit around and just read your Bible and be all spiritual? Seek God out and see what God wants you to do. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart, with all thy soul, you got to mean it. The Bible says if you seek God with all your heart, with all your soul, he's going to speak to you. He's going to tell you what he wants you to do. Maybe he will tell you, I just want you to sit in the pew and be a layman. But have you taken the time to seek God out? That's the question. I'm afraid that I think too many Christians nowadays are not even seeking God at all. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. We talked about being humble a little while ago. But in Psalm 10, verse 4, tells us that the wicked will not seek after God because they're too prideful. That's the problem, I think, with a lot of Christians today. We're too prideful. Isaiah 31 pronounces woe upon them that do not seek after God. Are you seeking after? When was the last time you legitimately bend your knee to God and ask God, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want this bus route to do for you? What do you want this nursing home ministry to do for you? What do you want me personally to do for you today? We need to pray and seek God out and be humble. Finally, we need to repent. That's the biggest problem in America. We don't want to repent anymore. This is always the case with God. Everything deals with repentance. You can't get saved without repenting. You can't do anything from God without repenting from your sins. It doesn't matter how small it is. It doesn't matter how big it is. You have something in your life that's not pleasing to God, repent from it. Turn away from it. I used to be stationed in Germany, and the first church that I was in after I was saved was Rhine River Baptist Church, pastored by Tom Lancaster. And he was an old Marine. He used to say, in the military, repent. It's like you do a complete 180, like an about face, like we used to do in the military. And that's what you do. You do a complete 180 from that sin. Complete turnaround. He wants us all to turn from wicked ways, to honor him. He wants us to be holy as he is holy. We have to repent from our sins. Once again, as everything, God commands it in Acts 17. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. The second half of Ezekiel 18:30 says, repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity will not be your ruin. Go ahead, don't repent, Christian. Keep that nasty sin to yourself. Keep doing it. It's going to ruin you. The Bible says it right there. God's not a liar. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to change his mind. It's 2014 coming up. He's not going to change his mind. Listen, there's good reason to believe that in a crowd like this, there are many that have something in their life that's not pleasing to God. Repent from it. Turn from it before it becomes a ruination of your family. The ruination of your church, maybe. Don't think of yourself. Don't be so selfish. Get rid of that sin. Are you not taking care of your family? You're not taking care of your ministry? You're not taking care of your job? Change it. It says right here that if we humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways, he says that I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Do you want America healed? Do you want your own lives to be healed? Humble, pray, seek, and turn. We see this here. America's going downhill because Christians don't want to do this anymore. And in closing, I just want to reiterate, we just read the verse again. We're losing our country. It's not Obama's fault. It's our fault. I didn't spend 20 years in the military. I didn't spend time in a combat zone to lose the freedoms that I fought for. And that's exactly what we're doing now. We're letting them being taken from us. We're allowing it. The VA... Just last week, I read a story where the VA, the Veterans Administration, would not allow little school children to send cards and notes to veterans that had anything to do with Christmas or religious annotation in it. The Veterans Administration wouldn't allow that. where have we come to in our society, in our country, where we can't say God bless you to somebody who fought for the freedoms of this country? Last thing I want to leave you is this little thing here. It's a little quote, not even a quote. But in 1778, Edward Gibbon completed his work on the decline and fall of the Roman Empire. He cited these five things as the cause. Take this to heart, people. The rapid increase of divorce, the undermining of the dignity and sanctity of the home, the basis of human society. Number two, higher and higher taxes, and the spending of public money for free bread and circuses for the populace. Number three, the mad craze for pleasure. Don't we see that today? The mad craze for pleasure. Number four, the building of gigantic armaments when the real enemy is the decadence of the people within. And lastly, the decay of religion. We see all these in this country right now, the decline and fall of the Roman Empire, the decline and fall of the American Empire. We need to get our country back. We need to turn our hearts back to God as a Christian people. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You just heard two messages tonight.